Church family, this is Colin Schultz, and he has received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Now, Colin, is that true that Jesus is the leader of your life? Well, on behalf of your decision to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior and the leader of your life, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism unto death, and raised to walk in a brand new life. Bless you, brother. God, congratulations.
Let's stand and worship today. Let's give him all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. And all the glory, all the honor, all the praises to you.
To you, for you are.
worship you. We sing to our God today. We look back on what you've done, look ahead to what you're going to do, and we give you glory.
We will remember.
Watching the video, and I've always wanted to say this to this congregation. I've watched a video about my second year here when Pastor had gone on a fast and he preached, and there was a spirit of humility that arrested the congregation. And one by one, people began to come down the aisle and aisles, and people began to repair broken relationships. And I've always wanted to ask, and this is a great time, who was here for that revival of repentance? Who was in that room? Oh, Lord, I wish I could be a part of that sometime in my life. And I wonder, why do things like that stop? Do we forget? Do we forget our God? Do we get our eyes a little bit off? Psalm 141, verse 8, David says, I fix my eyes on you. I love the Message paraphrases it. He says, I only have eyes for you. So Lord Jesus, this morning, as we sing this last verse, I pray that our eyes will turn to you. pray our eyes will be fixed on you. And we'll listen. And we'll listen to the Holy Spirit's call.
And I still remember the day you saved me. The day I heard you call out my name. You said you loved me.
Welcome someone to First Baptist Springdale this morning. We're so glad you're here. You may be seated. Again, we're so glad that you're here. This is your first time. We welcome you. We'd love for you to pull out the card in the seat back in front of you. If this is your first time, fill it out and drop it in the offering plate later in the service. Today is about adoration. Every day should be about adoring our Savior. But today, let's fix our eyes on Him. Father, we adore you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Have come.
morning, I want you to watch with me something that we have produced to share with the 50,000 churches and congregations of the Southern Baptist Convention. I've been on a journey for the last year of my life that has absolutely impacted me tremendously and greatly for the cause of Christ. That's another story in and of itself. But I want you to watch this because many of you have prayed for us, and I hope your heart will be encouraged because Jesus has asked us to do whatever it takes to go to the nations of the world. And I want you to watch right now.
The Southern Baptist Convention, meeting June 23rd, 24th, 2009 in Louisville, Kentucky, authorized the president of the Southern Baptist Convention to appoint a Great Commission Task Force charged to bring a report and any recommendations to the Southern Baptist Convention concerning how Southern Baptists can work more faithfully and effectively together in serving Christ through the Great Commission.
The GCR Task Force was strategically selected to represent the heartbeat of the Southern Baptist Convention. We began as people from all walks of Baptist life, but we're united by the gospel and driven by the lostness of America and the world.
Since 1845, there have been two primary matters on the heart of Southern Baptists: international missions and domestic missions. We believe it is imperative in 2010 to think afresh about those two primary causes among our shared work.
Here's a question. Do we really believe the Bible is true? Do we believe what the Bible says about the fate of people who don't know Jesus, that they will spend eternity in hell? Because it sure looks like we don't believe that. The task force started with defining the missional vision of our convention of churches, that we present the gospel of Jesus Christ to every person in the world and make disciples of all the nations. It is our goal that everything we do as a convention flow from this missional vision.
As a California pastor, I'm very excited about our vision for the North American Mission Board as they focus in on one basic goal: penetrating the lostness of North America. As they work through integrated strategic partnerships with our churches and state conventions, together we'll plant churches and advance evangelism in a very strategic way, taking the gospel to 258 million lost people in North America, including the major cities and the underserved regions of North America.
When it comes to reaching the world, the GCR Task Force envisions the IMB being unleashed on American soil to reach those unreached people groups who have moved into our own backyards. This will not only strengthen mission work in America, but also globally. And in order to show our commitment to the nations, it is our goal that over half of all the money given through the cooperative program be given to the International Mission Board.
The primary method of Great Commission giving in Southern Baptist life is the cooperative program. I'm convinced of this: when there is a clear, compelling vision to impact lostness, there will be an even greater sense of excitement to give sacrificially through the cooperative program for Great Commission giving. Our obedience to give will make an eternal difference.
The Great Commission resurgence isn't just a movement, it's a question. Are Southern Baptists ready? Are we willing? Are we able? Are we completely sold out to doing what we need to do to see the Great Commission accomplished?
The Great Commission will not be fulfilled by programs and conventions, but by people stepping out and sharing the gospel in faith. Revival must take place, and it starts with you and me. When we repent of our sin and return to God, we will then begin to grasp the lostness of our own region, our nation, and our world, strategizing to reach them for Jesus Christ. Now is the time that we need to come together in unity for the sake of the gospel.
The Great Commission Resurgence is about
Christians experiencing personal revival.
Churches awakening and coming alive again.
Presenting the gospel to every person in the world.
Making disciples of all nations.
Of all the nations.
Restoring the local church as the heart of Baptist life.
Penetrating the lostness of North America and the world with the gospel.
The gospel of Jesus Christ.
Planting churches and doing evangelism.
Reaching the cities and underserved regions.
Reaching unreached and underserved people groups.
Baptists working with Baptists in partnership for the gospel.
Calling upon all Christians,
and churches.
Giving their lives and resources like never before.
To risk it all.
We need to risk it all.
For reaching the nations.
Now is the time.
We must come together.
We must come together in unity for the sake of the gospel.
It starts with you.
It starts with me.
As a Christ follower and Southern Baptist,
my missional vision is to present the gospel of Jesus Christ
to every person in the world.
And to make disciples.
Hacer discípulos en todas las naciones.
Of all the nations.
Elijah Abigaleon.
Can all of Galilee.
Samoa Bangsa.
Did you hear us? All the nations.
You know, if that doesn't fire you up to do something about taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, you're like the old country preacher would say, that means your wood is real wet. And I'm so grateful that our tech team put that together, and that is prayerfully going to go into thousands of churches across America and encourage them. Encourage friends of yours that go to different churches across the country that are Southern Baptist churches to show this, to go to PrayForGCR.com. And they'll see the vision, the compelling vision that God has asked me to lead in this incredible effort. You know, we forget, but we're a part of a denomination that is the largest Protestant denomination in the world with the largest missionary force. And our goal, my goal the last couple of years, or the last year, has been to do everything we can, turning all resources, people, etc., towards placing more missionaries here in North America and more around the world to reach the nations and penetrate lostness around the world. You know, today, it's very interesting we show this because today is the day of prayer for world evangelization, that every people group in the world would be penetrated with the gospel of Jesus Christ, reaching and teaching them with the good news of Christ. And today, we're going to pray for that to occur. Also today, we have had several people over the last, to my understanding, several hours yesterday and perhaps even today to go through what we call ESL training. English is a second language. We're in an area that obviously where people can share the gospel through teaching people who do not speak English as the primary language. And so we're teaching them. We're training those people up in what we would call literary missions. But today we have Kendall Moore, who is one of our 5,000-plus missionaries in North America, who is with us, who's in charge or is a part of the literary missions. And so, Kendall, are you with us today? You're supposed to be with us somewhere. There you are. Kendall, why don't you stand today? Would y'all recognize Kendall for being here? Kendall, thank you for your ministry. We appreciate you being here today. Would all of us stand together right now? And as we stand together in the name of Jesus today, I hope that you'll prepare your heart for the message. And I pray today that we will understand that when your church and you give, we're able to give more monies across the world. And I pray that you would join us in doing that. Next Sunday begins our summer program of giving. A simple goal that we have had this year before us is we just need to meet our budget. Our budget for those number of weeks from Memorial Day Sunday all the way to Labor Day Sunday is $4.2 million. That's what it takes to operate this ministry. Our Pinnacle Hills campus, our campus here at Springdale. What does that mean to you? It means you honoring the Lord with the first tenth of all God gives you. That means you making sure that you give even when you're not present, when you're going to be out of town, making sure that you do that. Whether you mail it in or you become a part of our automated giving plan, which is a tremendous way to take care of that, regardless of whether you're here or you're away. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit will speak to our lives today. And we ask today that you would use the resources for the gospel that are going to be given today. I thank you for missionaries like Kendall today, who serves here in North America and that our church is able to have a little part in what he does for the gospel in this region and around the world. And I thank you, Lord, for the missionaries across the seas today, as well as all those here in North America. Would you use them and equip them to penetrate the people groups of the world? And Lord, we do ask you for the world to be evangelized. Give us a way. And the gospel is the message. And I pray the gospel would be able to go to the ends of the earth. And we ask today that, Lord, as we turn our attention now to the Word of God, that you'll prepare our hearts even as we give. May God be praised, Jesus be exalted, and may the Holy Spirit use us. We ask now. Amen. Would you be seated? This morning I want to begin a brand new series with you for the next several weeks. And we're going to call this series Extreme Spiritual Makeover. I want you to get a copy of the Word of God, and I want you to look with me into 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 will be our launch verse for this series for the next several weeks together. I want to begin by reading this verse this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning we're going to talk about that one segment that talks about your body. Care for your body. Out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 23, which we just read, and then another verse of scripture that I want to read this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. I hope that you will look with me in these two verses today. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. And I want you to listen to the instruction of the word of the Lord. He says these words, "Do you not know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore," what does he say do? "Glorify God in your body." Glorify God in your body. Extreme Makeover Home Edition is a reality television series providing home renovations for unfortunate, hardship, tough families, situations that are going on in today's world. Each episode features a family that is going through some kind of hardship in their lives. Local leaders as well as local construction companies partner together for the purpose of doing rapid home construction to meet the needs of each particular family that would be featured. Ty Pennington is the host of that program, and it's been on the air consistently and still popular since 2004 in the month of February. You know, in today's world, people have all kinds of makeovers. You can have a facial makeover. You can have a physical makeover. It's amazing what money can do. You can have an apparel makeover. But have you thought recently about what it takes to have a spiritual makeover? What does that mean to have a spiritual makeover in your life? I mean, what will it take to have an extreme spiritual makeover? That's what we're going to be talking about for the next several weeks together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 gives to you three ways you can experience this spiritual makeover in an extreme way. Care for your body, control your soul, and release your spirit. All very important, all critical to the entire you, the whole you of life. The title of the message today, Care for Your Body. A new phenomenon in the exercise world is called P90X. It's a video that you watch and you force yourself to do an extreme workout. And if you eat properly for 90 days and you do this exercise as required by the video, then in 90 days you can have a new body. Question, is that what it means to care for your body? You see, I think there's a more important question than even that. If you know Christ is your Lord and Savior, that means that you are born again. If you have been born again by the Spirit of God and you have had transformation occur in your life through what we would call conversion, What does God want you to do about the care for your body? What is the right way to care for your body? I believe that there are two major actions that each one of us have to take in order to care for your body. First, you've got to be influenced by the Bible. You've got to be influenced by the Bible. You see, it doesn't matter what the Bible speaks to or what the Bible speaks about. If it speaks about it, it speaks about it with authority and infallibility. I'm not talking about it being influenced by the culture. I'm talking about being influenced by the Bible. Now, related to the body, in the American culture, there are usually one of two extremes that you go to. One extreme is extreme indulgence. Eat, drink, and be merry. Whatever pleasure I want, whatever thing I want to eat, gorge it. Drink it up. Enjoy life. It's either that extremity or it's the other extremity. And that is the extremity of physical health. Everything's about your body. Everything's about the physical body. Well, both of those are extremes. And surely there's got to be a way to balance all of that. Doesn't matter which extreme you are in that, if that's where you operate, or a leaning to one or the other. If you're not careful, you will get into what I would call today body idolatry. Idolizing our bodies. That this body's made for pleasure. This body's made for me. This body's made for me to do whatever I want to do. Or the other side of the body idolatry. I've got to be real careful with everything I do, everything I eat, everything I do to this body. This body is unbelievable. Is that right? Surely there's got to be a way to reach some kind of healthy and biblical balance. You see, what I find among most people I know is that they would go to one or two extremes. They would never miss a workout, or they would never miss a meal. But they'll miss a daily time with God and His Word and prayer, or they'll miss church on Sunday and never even think about it. Is that what it means to care for your body? You see, what does the Bible say? I mean, everybody's got to operate from some authority. I believe the Bible is the authority. So what does the Bible say about your body? If Christ is living in you, and many of you, Christ is not living in you. You've never trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord. But if you have trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord, you've repented of your sin, you've received Him as Lord, and you're living under His Lordship in your life, then guess what today? The Bible speaks to you about your body. What does the Bible teach you? From those verses I read a moment ago, teaches you four things. First of all, the Lord alone sanctifies your body. That's what He said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 23. In fact, He was real clear. He talked about how the Lord Himself sanctifies your body. He sanctifies you completely. Your spirit, your soul, and your body. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, He talks about the coming of the Lord Jesus. And He tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5 about how we need to live before the Lord comes back. And just preceding chapter 5, verse 23, He gives to us some matters of evil that we need to stay away from. And then He uses in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, this word, sanctify. What does that mean? The word sanctify means to make holy. So God says you're to take your body and you are to make your body holy. He Himself, The Lord Himself sanctifies you according to the scripture. It means that you separate yourself from sin towards holiness. All right? That means you lean more toward God than away from God. That means that you're in a progress in your life and you are progressing toward the Lord and you're letting Him sanctify. You're letting Him make you more like Himself. That's the process that every one of us are going through. Now, only God Himself, the scripture says, can help you separate yourself from sin and unto Him in the choices that you make in your life. Sanctification is a process. Sanctification is a process and a progress of you becoming more what God wants you to be in your life. Paul talked about it over in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13b and 14a. He said these words, and I quote, "Work out your own salvation." That's interesting, because we don't believe in work salvation. We believe we're saved by grace. What does he mean then? Is it not only have I been saved, that's the experience of my salvation, but ever since I have been saved, I am now in the process of moving towards God. I am progressing toward God. I'm being what God wants me to be. Therefore, I'm working out my salvation. This is sanctification. Now, look what he says. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. When you respect God and you will honor God and you want to bless the Lord in your life, you're doing everything with fear and trembling. You want to do it God's way. For it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to will and to act for His purpose. It is God who is working in you, enabling you. So the Lord alone sanctifies, He sets apart your body. What else does the Bible teach? The Lord alone lives in your body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 is real clear about how the Lord alone lives in your body. Do you not know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit and He is living in you? You have been given that from God. That's what he says. This is the same word for body in 1 Corinthians 6:19 that we find over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 that we read a moment ago. In this passage that I read, the translation I read from is the word sanctuary. Some translations would use the word temple. Do you not know that the Holy Spirit, or your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Your body is the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. This is the same word that Jesus talked about relating to his own body, prophesying his death, burial, and resurrection over in John chapter 2, verse 19. It's the same word used earlier in Corinthians in chapter 3, verse 16, when Paul said, "Don't you understand the Holy Spirit lives in you and your body belongs to God?" And then he talks about that same word over in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21, when he talks about the church being the body of Christ. Therefore, the motivation should be that nothing enters your body and you never do anything in your body or with your body that would be disgraceful. Why is that? Because God lives in you. Do you get that? In other words, God is in you. If Jesus Christ came into your life, He is there. The Lord alone sanctifies your body. The Lord alone lives in your body. But then He also teaches us that the Lord alone owns your body. He owns your body. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 19 and 20. He makes it real clear that you have from God. And then he says in the last of verse 19, you are not your own. Whoa, that means that I'm somebody else's, right? And then he says, for you were bought at a price. So once Christ saves you, guess what? You belong to God 100%. 100% of you belongs to God. Everybody got that? Now come on, you need to get with me today because I'm talking about something some of us are not familiar with. But I'm telling you, it's very important. There's part of you. No, it's all of you belongs to God. It's not part of me is me and part of me is God. No, that's not right. Some of you try to compartmentalize your Christian faith. You can't do that. Jesus is with you all the time. He's in you all the time. And guess what? He owns you all the time. Let me put it this way. The price he paid to buy you was the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to him. Let me put it another way. The Lord has complete, full property rights over your body. That kind of gets it, doesn't it? Man, wow. That's just real Bible, isn't it? Amen. All right. Pastor, that is such a good word. Wonderful. Amen. And then notice this fourth thing. The Lord alone, what does he want to do? He should be glorified through your body. That's what he says in the last of verse 20. Based off, listen to this. This is really good. Based off him sanctifying your body. Based off him living in your body. Based off him owning your body. Therefore, when you see therefore in the scripture, you look and you see what it's there for. Therefore, glorify God with your body. That's what he says in chapter 6, verse 20. That's what he tells us. We're to glorify God with the body that God has given me. Because God lives in you and you were bought with a price. You're owned by the Lord Jesus alone. Therefore, you're to glorify Jesus. So you know what the ultimate function of your body is? Let me just tell you what it is. Are you ready? Don't you want to hear it? The ultimate function of your body is one thing. To give glory to God. That's it. That's what it's there for. Your body is to give glory to God. It is not your body to be used for your own pleasures, nor is it your body to be neglected whenever you choose. You're to use it to bring glory to God. And so, therefore, not only should we be influenced dramatically by the Bible? I mean, when the Bible is so clear about our bodies, I mean, don't you think there needs to be more? Something needs to happen with us? So what is that? We need to be inspired to take action. I mean, based off of what the Scripture says, either the Scripture is the Scripture or the Scripture is not the Scripture, then we need to be able to take action in our lives. Now, let me bring some clarity here today. Over the next few minutes, I'm going to talk about several things. And as I talk about these things today, I want us to understand there are people in life that have medical issues that would be exempt from what I'm about to talk about. Now, perhaps there was a moment in their life when they were not, but regardless, they are now. And many are just by the makeup, the chemical makeup of who they are and where they've been in their life. So in this, don't imagine, oh, I bet I'm going to be exempt. No, don't go there. It would be rare that any of you would be exempt from what I'm about to say. But can I just talk to you today about the reality of what's going on in America? Do you realize that one of the major health problems in America today is childhood obesity? One in three children are categorized as obese. 112,000 deaths each year come to children due to obesity. Wow. That's why First Lady Michelle Obama is getting involved in major initiatives to fight this problem. And I'm glad she is. Did you know among all Americans age 20 and older, 145 million people are categorized as overweight or obese? Men have a problem with this more than women. 76.9 million of those are men. 68.1 million are women. Did you know that one of the least healthy states in all of the country is the state of Arkansas? Over 60% of all adults in our state are at an unhealthy weight and 37% are obese. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention states that we are the eighth among the 50 states in heart disease. First in stroke mortality, ninth in cancer overall, and sixth in death due to lung cancer. In the year 1991 through the year 2000, obesity increased in the state of Arkansas by 77%. Last year at the annual meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention, they do it every year. There's a wellness center provided. It's provided by a couple of Baptist entities. And hundreds and hundreds of pastors and pastors' wives go through there. It's free of charge. You can check out your health. Out of last year's participants, over 75% of last year's participants who completed the screening were found to be significantly overweight. You see, this is a problem that the church must address in some way. While obesity is the number two cause of preventable death in the United States, think about it this way. Our world is facing a hunger crisis unlike anything we've seen in 50 years. Every five seconds, a child dies somewhere in the world of starvation. And while we sit back and we kill ourselves with indulgence, the world around us is literally starving to death. Not only should data and research inspire us to take action, but also how one cares for the body. I want to remind all of us today, it's a testimony of your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because He lives in you. You're to sanctify it to Him. He owns you. And He wants you to what? Glorify Him with it. This issue is not only to be dealt with biblically and spiritually, but how can real change occur? I want to speak to that today in these ways. First of all, change can occur spiritually. That's right. You can change certain things about your health and your body and the way you treat your body when you look at it from a spiritual perspective. You say, Ronnie, what do you mean? Well, if I pray about it. Pray about it. Have you ever prayed about your health? Prayed about where you are in your health? Good, bad, or ugly? Then it's going to come down to asking God for discipline and commitment. Discipline and commitment. Discipline means you do it even when you don't want to do it. And you're committed to do it. You know, this morning after having a quiet time up early, I left and went outside running for 40 minutes. Now, the first 10 minutes, I hated every minute of it. I can't tell you I fell in love with any of it. But I stayed with it. When I finished, guess what? I felt good. I felt better. You know what made me do that? No one didn't make me do that. Gina didn't get her stick out that she uses on me periodically and wear me out. Say, get out there, boy. No, she didn't do that. You know what happened? Discipline. Commitment. And then practically. We got to deal with it practically. Not only spiritually, but practically. Now today what I'm going to do is at this time I want to ask several of my helpers to join me on stage. So guys and girls, let's go. Quick. And today what I want to do is that I want you to begin your responsibilities. Because you see, this is all an illustration of what we can do with the body that God's given us. These are just ways. I wonder what those ways are. Well, let's begin this. You see those two ladies right there? They're walking. You know, everybody can walk. If you can walk in here today, you can walk. Remember, you need to take care of your body. You know what? You need to be able to run. Running's important. Running is so important. You say, well, I can't run. I can barely walk. Most people who run marathons never ran before. They just started taking it up a little bit at a time. Before you knew it, they started running. You know, one of the great reasons to run is you can burn more calories and take care of your issues a lot quicker than walking. Spinning. They say, well, this is no big deal. Well, you do that about 40 minutes to 60 minutes, like I do every Friday in a class, and it'll wear you out. Because you see, all of a sudden, this little button here, you start doing this, and you'll feel like you're going up a hill to Fayetteville. Isn't that right? Look at it. See there? Isn't that right? See there? I know how that works, buddy. All right? And then you think about this. You think about lifting. Now, this is my trainer here. He wears me out every Thursday morning. He does it to get back at me after I preach at him on Sunday. But do you realize this, friend? Do you realize the older you get, the more you need to lift? Some of you say, well, I'm 60, 70, 80. I can't. You need to. There's a way to do it. In fact, your health can improve dramatically if you lift a little bit. And that cross training, what happens is this moves up. Therefore, you don't have as much moving down. Got it? Stretching. Boy, stretching is important. No matter how old you are. I hate to stretch. Can't stand to stretch. I detest stretching. But I've learned to stretch. It helps your flexibility. All of it's important. Every bit of it's important. And so today, what I want to challenge you on is that you got to find a way to do something about your body. And you say, well, I just don't know what I'm going to do. Now, see the way those girls are walking right there? I could get my heart rate up, prepare a sermon quicker than they're getting their heart rate up right now. You know, y'all need to get after it if you're going to get after it. There you go. I love it. All right. Do you follow what I'm saying? All right, let's give it up for our team today, all right? Thank you very much, guys. Oh, yeah, by the way, look here. You see this? You see this couple right here? They're eating. You know what they're eating? Grilled chicken, broccoli, and carrots. And what do you call that?
Cauliflower.
Cauliflower, yeah. I don't eat that stuff, all right? But this is healthy. Fruit, drinking water. All right, let's give it up for everyone, okay? Because you see, all that's a part of dealing with who your body is. You see, here's what I want you to understand is important. Now I want you to get this down in your mind. Exercise and health is not just about longevity of life, but having life while you live. Did you get that? It's not about living longer. It's about having life while you live. Just a little bit. 20 minutes a day, 4 days a week. 30 minutes a day. 4 days a week, 5 days a week. I do 6 days a week. But you build up to what you are. Some of you say, it could be, oh, boy, this really motivated me today. And some of you are going to get out here and try to run 3 miles tomorrow. You're going to be dead on Tuesday. You're going to walk in. Your wife says, son, do I need to bury it? Don't do that. You got to be smart. But it's about having life while you live. Guess what? If you want health when you're 40, you got to take care of your body when you're 30. If you want health when you're 50, you got to take care of your body when you're 30 and 40. It's all a process. You say, well, I'm way too far gone. I'm too old. No, you're not. God's got you here. Take care of your body. Do something with your body. Let your body bring glory to God. So spiritually, we need to deal with it, practically. But you know how else we need to deal with it? We need to deal with it now. Now. That's right. Just now. Start something now. Well, not this now, but I mean, get out of here today and now. One of the things that's great about those two ladies that did that, they did it together. And you know what? The buddy system works really great. It's beautiful outside. That's one of the things I enjoyed this morning. It's gorgeous welcoming in the sun. And, you know, it's a great time to get out and to do that. It makes you feel good. You hear the birds. I mean, you see the activity. It scared me to death this morning. I heard something and I saw something move, and it was a deer. You know, well, thank God it was a deer. You see, years ago, Gene and I lived on the Gulf Coast of Texas. I guess that's where I really learned to love the water. We lived in a little town called Palacios, and I was pastor there at the First Baptist Church, right between Houston and Corpus Christi, 90 miles either way. That's how you get there, right there. It was on the bay. Bay led to the Gulf of Mexico. It was a fishing community. A lot of shrimpers, a lot of those kind of guys. My assistant, her name was Betty. Betty's husband named Bill. Bill owned 3 fish boats or shrimp boats and owned a fish house. So anyway, I would had Betty walk in my office more than she needed to, probably 1 or 2 days a week. She said, hey, Pastor, said, Bill just got in some fresh shrimp and fresh oysters. And hey, if you let me go home a little early for lunch, said he's already working on it. He said, hey, get Gina. And we'll have David, who is our youth pastor and music pastor. And we'll get Janine, who works with us. And we'll all just go have a big old fish and shrimp fry and oyster fry. Well, we did that. I mean, that was not a matter of priorities. I said, absolutely, go for it, baby. I loved it. So she'd go home just a few minutes early, and then Bill would have most of it done. We'd eat, and we'd get back to the office. We did that quite a bit. Something happened to me. I swelled up to 207 pounds. That's right. 207 pounds. I look like a stuffed toad. And after I got sick of looking at myself one day, I decided this has got to end. And it was when I was a young pastor where I started that discipline in my life. And you know how I got there? No one had to shame me. It didn't happen because Gina said, you know, you really need to do something with yourself. It never happened. But you know what it was? For me, it was a lordship issue. If Jesus was Lord, I needed to deal with myself, and I needed to deal with myself now. And that's how I've dealt with it all these years. Because you see, this isn't owned by me. It's owned by Him. He's in me. And He wants me to glorify Him with the best I got for His glory. And then it's a lifestyle issue. It's part of it becoming there. And it becomes a part of your daily routine. And I hear people all the time say, well, I don't have time to do that. Time? You think I got time to do that? Lord, no, I haven't had any time in a year. But you know what? It's kept me going. Somebody says, how are you doing what you're doing? I'll tell you what, two things. Time with God every day that never is compromised. And I've been consistent in taking care of my body every day. Because you see, when you take care of your body, you can just do more. You have more energy. You have more life. And again, God wants glory through this tabernacle, through this temple. That song we sang early today, fill this temple with your glory. It's not talking about this church. This temple is you. You are the temple of God. May you get glory. God get glory through that temple. I realize today that when some of you leave and you go home and on your way home or this week, you say, oh boy, I tell you, old pastor laid it on us, boy. He preached about how we don't need to do this and boy, we need to exercise and da 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 da. Boy, he made me feel horrible. If that's where you're coming from, you've missed it. It's gone right here. Because you're never going to do anything about God's body that He's given you if you make it about me. It's not about me. It's about you and God at your level of life, at your age of life, at whatever you're going through in your life. Taking care of what you have been given so that you can bring glory to God with your body, which all belongs to God anyway. And so you have to really dial in and you got to really be honest with yourself and not lie to yourself and deceive yourself. And you got to say, now listen. Is God saying something to me today? I think I know that I really try my best to live under the lordship of Jesus, but that's just one of those areas that for Christians, it just kind of hangs out where we just don't kind of, you know, that's why we hang over is because we hang out that issue sometime. And I'm just going to ask you to get before the Lord and ask God about it. Because a spiritual makeover, it involves your body being dealt with. May your spirit, soul, and body, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may it be found blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So is He Lord over your body? I pray you'll make Him that way. And you know what? I got another simple question before we dismiss you today. Is He living in your body? Is Jesus living in your body? He said, well, not that I know of. You know what? He can and he will. And if you will open your heart to God and you'll put all of your faith and all of your trust in Christ, in him alone, he will come into your life, forgive you of your sins, and at that moment, you will be saved. You will become a Christian, and he will live in your body.